We're experiencing some technical difficulties on some of our radio stations. Please do bear with us as we move through today's closing market report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It's the fourth day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Max Baucus is headed to China. The senator will take up trade, currency, and other issues in Beijing. There is some disagreement within the regional offices of the Federal Reserve over the agency's asset purchase policies, and legislators in Argentina may consider a new GMO law. Up until now, it's been possible and legal in that nation to use Benrun GMO seed. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll take you back to the June 1 stocks report and let you listen to what Darrell Good had to say then about the number that showed 250 million fewer bushels on hand than expected. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the December wheat down 7 3/4 at 647 1/4. July at 696.5 on its settlement price for the soft red down 5.5 cents. December hard red 6 1/4 lower at 683. And then came the upward trend in the corn pit. December contract 5 3/4 higher at 471.5. The March at 483 up 4 3/4. May at 489.25, up 5.25, and July at 493.25, up 5 3/4. December contract at 466.25, 5.5 cents higher. November beans 1054, down 3 for the day. January 1064, 2 3/4 lower. March at 1072.5, down 2.5. July at 1082.5, unchanged. Next year's November at 1047.25, up 3 1/4. And that's the look at the numbers from the grains in Chicago at the CME Group. Here's what the Mercantile Exchange number livestocks looked like. October contract, 95.10, down 85 cents. December at 97.30, $1.05 lower. October feeders at 110.50, down 130. November at 110.67.5, $1.60 lower. October lean hogs at 75.67.5, down 70 cents. Outside markets for the hour, November contract in the crude oil, $81.56 a barrel, down 2 cents. Ethanol at $1.92 3/10, a penny and 3/10 higher. November natural gas at $3.72 8/10, down 6 9/10. The heating oil or diesel fuel off 0.7 cents at $2.86 6/10. And the October gold at $1,315.40. Down 70 cents for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 10,732, just about 98 points lower, and the dollar at 78.4 is down 0.35 for the day. The CRB Index at 283.99 is down 1.7 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 63 degrees, northwest winds at 11 miles an hour. Tonight, areas of frost around Urbana-Champaign after 1 a.m., otherwise clear, a low of 34. Tomorrow, sunny, a high near 69. Tuesday night, clear, a low of 41. Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high of 76 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 50. When we get to the extended forecast, it says Thursday, it'll be sunny with a high of 73 degrees. Thursday night, clear, a low of 46. Friday, sunny, the high of 77. And Friday night, a clear with a low around 49 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago at the bottom of the hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was an interesting day on Friday with a big 30-cent drop, and most people were wondering whether it would continue down. Actually, the synthetics on that day closed at just about where it dropped off to, despite the fact that that was a limit move lower. Then we had today's trade. Tell me how it ensued after we started last night.
We basically saw some follow through early. Commodity funds were early sellers during the regular day session. They sold up to 9,000 corn and a couple thousand beans and quite a bit of wheat, too. And once that selling dried up, the market had enough energy to kind of reverse up and trend higher throughout the day, especially on corn. As sellers went to the sidelines, we had some end users come forward and gather some inventory. So it's kind of a lack of selling and a pickup and some buying interest here. The market did move down to some longer-term support areas. This 450 level in the December corn and 1040-50 on these November beans. If you look at a long-term chart, you can visualize and see that that has been the upper end of the range for the last 2 years until just recently when we popped up through it. Now back to the downside should generate some support here if this market is going to continue to hold together and be bullish. The technical action kind of encouraging on corn, made a new low, closed higher, got hook reversal. We just need to see some follow-through buying here and, above all, stay above last night's lows, Todd.
Do we know who the sellers on Friday might have been?
It was everybody. It was huge. It was a big day volume. You know, it was just about anybody and everybody. Long liquidation, mainly as we saw everybody sort of run to the door all at once. And with a sharply lower market like that, and the fear that was around, there just wasn't a whole lot of buyer step in front of it.
Are you feeling more at ease today than you did over the weekend?
Well, it depends what your position is, I guess.
Well, for your hedgers in the market, I suppose.
Hedge-wise, a hedge is a hedge. You make it on one side and offset it on the other side. The thing on the hedge is make sure the basis improves. That's where the big profit comes in on the hedge
happening.
Side. And from your point of the hedge, easiness of margin calls, yes, got a little bit of money back. So from a hedge point of view, the basis should narrow up in through here as these end users come forward. Hedge-wise, last week with the big margin calls, we did stick to our plan that we've talked about in some of these outlook meetings. If the margin call gets too hot, to go ahead and move those hedges to actual cash sales and to cover it with calls or convert it to some puts to ease the pain, but you do not ever want to give up the hedge on a bull market like that, because this was a textbook classic where there was people who gave up on their hedge up there above $5, and all of a sudden here we are 30 to 40 cents lower all of a sudden.
And so they liquidated, dumped out under the pressure, but in your case you try to convince them to go ahead and make a cash sale and cover it in another way.
Yeah, and that was hard to do because we did a lot of it, but there's a few out there who was talking about this weak dollar and this demand and everything, and the dollar did nothing but collapse, and the grain markets did nothing but collapse last week. So it was an emotional roller coaster. It's a textbook perfect example. We've been stressing either you're a grain marketer or a trader, and if you're a hedger and trader, you got to stick to the plan and follow through on it.
And we need to look forward to Friday. USDA will release on Friday of this week the crop production report for October. They should have some really good numbers for corn. What are your expectations?
Oh, Jiminy Crimey.
You're not looking forward to another USDA report, are you?
It's just not one number. Man, they're going to rebalance everything. We've got plenty of stocks with. They're going to have to come back and juggle some numbers around. I could see yield going up and down. The demand's, it's going to be an accountant's dream come true trying to not cook the books but shuffle the numbers around. Overall, corn production is going to be down. How much, we'll see. On the bean side, I feel the bean yield is going to be up, but they might come through with those harvested acres that we've been talking about for the last 6 months. So we'll see if that is addressed or not. But, yeah, it's going to be another report. Hopefully it won't have the dramatic effect that we saw here last week.
And for your end users or livestock producers, those folks that need grain and oil seeds, are you suggesting any moves at this point?
Well, right here on this break, I think, you know, for those who have sold cash grain, want to replace it. For those who have end-user needs, I think you come in and get some ownership on paper here. Or actually, you know, if you got some wide basis areas, go ahead and pick up some physical cash grain. I like doing it with a covered position, so if the funds continue want to move out of the marketplace, you can have some coverage on, for example, buy the board, buy put, or do a bull call spread. There's hundreds of ideas, and each one of those analysts that's on your program, Todd, have excellent ideas on how to cover yourself. But this last week's an example, you know, why you might want to have a position and have it covered, too.
Okay, thank you so much.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus plans to travel to China next week to speak to top Chinese officials on the issue of the Chinese currency, as well as other trade and economic issues. Baucus says that the trip to Beijing and Shanghai, scheduled for the week of October 10th, would provide an opportunity to discuss China's currency manipulation and other trade issues with top Chinese officials in an effort to find solutions in the best interest of both U.S. and China's economies. His office says the chairman also will push China to further open its market to American agricultural exports. Philadelphia's Federal Reserve President Charles Plosser says that the Fed must not launch a new round of asset purchases without setting out what it wants to achieve through the policy. Plosser says, quote, "I think that before we engage, we need to be very clear about what it is we're trying to do, how we're going to go about doing it, how we're going to measure whether we're effective at it or not, and how we're going to communicate that." Plosser has been outspoken in expressing concern about the massive expansion of the Fed's balance sheet. Argentina's government is considering reforming the country's seed law in a bid to foster use of new varieties of genetically modified soybeans and boost output. The bill, which has not yet been sent to Congress, has been drawn up in consultation with seed companies and should reduce the risk of disputes like the one Argentina sustained for years with Monsanto over Roundup-ready resistant soy. Under current Argentina law, farmers are allowed to use seeds obtained from their harvests for future sowing, thus depriving seed companies of royalties. The new bill sets guidelines that recognizes the rights of the developer. The aim of the reform proposal is to ensure new GM varieties are introduced. Statistics Canada today reports that Canadian farmers in early September expected 2010 wheat production to fall 17.3% to 22.21 million tons, down 2% from their July predictions. a widespread killing. Frost occurred on the prairies after the StatsCan survey had been conducted, the effects of which will be reflected in the agency's November production survey. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason from the University of Illinois. Coming up, a couple of feature stories on the grain stocks report, the one that happened last week and the one that happened in June, too. We'll hear about last week first. You know that it dropped the marketplace. Well, it did eventually on Friday, 30 cents. That same 30 cents was gained in June on the day of the report. And I want you to listen to the contrast to those two stories. First, we'll hear about last week's report and what it showed. And then we'll go back and we'll listen to what Daryl Good had to say about the June 1 grain stocks report and what it did not show. The quarterly grain stocks report tallies what's in the bin. USDA just released the report, and when it looked at corn, it found a great big pile, something along the lines of 300 million bushels that it didn't expect to be found and left over from last season. Well, University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good explains which corners of the nation's corn inventory had more left in them than was expected as late as even as a, well, a couple of weeks ago.
If you look at compared to a year ago, the increase year over year was in commercial facilities off the farm. On-farm stocks were actually down a bit. And so the question is, how do you judge this number? Do you accept it as being correct or not? And the way I do that is say, what does that number imply about our feed and residual use of corn during the marketing year just ended? And my calculations have suggested that number comes in at about 5.2 billion bushels. That's where we were the previous year. That's what the USDA has been forecasting for next year. And I think it's more realistic number than the 5.5 billion bushel that USDA has been carrying in its balance sheet since we got the June 1 stocks number that was surprisingly small. It forced an upward revision in the expected amount of corn being fed. This number basically says that was kind of a fake out, and at 1.7 billion bushels, the numbers look really pretty good on the balance sheet for last year. They all make sense to me.
Good had warned when the Q3 grain stocks were released in June that the feed and residual use number looked really high and that it might be adjusted in September. That's exactly what happened. The nation's livestock did not consume as much corn as the industry had expected in the fourth quarter. Those supplies showed up in the commercial elevators instead. Well, Good thinks of the result of the shift in this way. He says it's just about the same as adding 4 bushels to the national corn yield for this season, the harvest now taking place. That'll be adjusted, too, when the October crop production report is released on Friday. It currently stands at 162.5 bushels to the acre. Okay, so that's last week's grain stocks report, but let's go back to the June grain stocks report. That's when the marketplace was surprised again by USDA. It showed less corn that time on hand than anyone had expected, and the market rallied nearly 30 cents the day of the June grain stocks report. But as you'll hear, that quarterly report wasn't entirely reliable, and you already know, in the way that it predicts total corn usage for the year. Here's what Daryl Good told us at that point in time. The June 30 quarterly grain stocks report compiled by USDA NASH showed corn usage from March to May was about 3.38 billion bushels. That's a whole lot, and by comparison, much bigger than the 2009 March to May disappearance figure of 2.6 billion bushels. It made the number people look at, the June 1 corn stocks on hand figure, that's what's still left in the bin, of 4.31 billion bushels seem awfully small. University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good cautioned during a radio interview the day of the report that the quarterly grain stocks figures are not a reliable indicator of total year-end usage.
Well, I'm not sure it tells us a whole lot at this point. I think there is a knee-jerk reaction to say smaller than expected June 1 stocks means that we will have to lower the projection of year-ending stocks, and that if we were 250 million bushels smaller on June 1 than we thought we should have been, then we should take $250 million off of the projection of year-ending stocks. I would caution about doing that kind of projection right at this point because quarterly numbers can be a little bit deceiving.
Deceiving because the quarterly grain stocks report does not and cannot be used to predict continued usage. It does, however, indicate current usage patterns, and this one for corn is telling a few different tales.
At the surface, it says that either the crop was slightly overestimated or that somehow we're just feeding tremendous amounts of stuff here during the spring quarter, or that we're going to find some corn in the September stocks number.
Feed usage is the most often pointed to possibility, but on that account, the disappearance of corn would be at a record rate, coupled with record availability of DDGs and smaller livestock numbers.
On the surface, the quarterly number taken by itself doesn't make a lot of sense, and so you have to put everything in context of cumulative use and then keep open the possibility that there will be some adjustment in the fourth quarter.
That was University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good talking about the June 1 grain stocks report, or the third quarter grain stocks report. He made those comments right here in this studio on this program, the Closing Market Report. I thought you'd be interested to hear them again. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment with the cash grain markets.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Time to look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Lisa Jones of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Lisa. Tell me, if you could, about the cash basis in your area in this east central part of Illinois. Has it closed up substantially over the last week and a half?
In terms of a basis level, we've really seen with this smaller crop that we've seen in this part of central Illinois and a lot of guys putting corn in the bins, we've seen this basis pop. We're currently 15 under the December here in Champaign. That's an improvement of about 10 cents from just a week ago. We spent the majority of the early part of harvest somewhere between 38 and 35 under the December. So that's quite a significant improvement.
Farmers feeling a bit relieved today that the market didn't continue down by the end of the day, I suppose?
I think so. I mean, especially when we came in this morning and saw that D10 corn number down 9 cents. A lot of guys have had their finger on the panic button. But, you know, that being said, even with futures somewhere around 450, considering where we saw these numbers late spring, early summer, they're still significantly higher prices, you know, where guys can still make some money. So I think even though we've seen some guys sell on these down days, I think it was good to see a return above our support levels, you know, just to get guys' finger off that panic button.
They were probably more disturbed by the rainfall and the soybeans they had in the combine and the wagons in the open bin over the weekend.
We actually had extended hours in here on Saturday, not anticipating that rain going home Friday night. And about 6:30, it started to pour around here. And you kind of look up the sky and go, well, that wasn't something I was anticipating. So,
yeah, okay.
I mean, I think enough beans are out of the fields now that, you know, guys weren't too panicked about it.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, we are 4.56 and beans 10.24.
Thanks much, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Lisa Jones is with the Andersons, joins us from the Champaign County office on a Monday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Taco Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, the day following October 4th became October 15th in most European countries as the Gregorian calendar was adopted. The old Julian calendar lived on in Britain and its colonies until 1752, in Japan until 1873, in China until 1912, in Russia until 1918, in Greece until 1923, and in Turkey until 1925. In 1879, Edward Murray East was born, an American biologist and chemist. He helped with the development of hybrid corn. Specifically, he applied inbred strain breeding to improve seed production. He analyzed the protein and fat content of corn to increase its nutritional value as animal feed. East studied the genetics and breeding not only of corn, but also tobacco and potatoes. And in 1995, Edward H. Lowe died. Lowe joined his father's company in Cassopolis, Michigan, selling industrial absorbents, including sawdust and absorbent clay called Fuller's Earth. In 1947, Lowe suggested the use of clay instead of ashes for his neighbor's cat box to avoid sooty cat prints. And he filled 10 bags with the clay and wrote on each one of them, "Kitty Litter," the beginning of one of the largest U.S. producers of cat box filler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Skies are sunny and beautiful here. It's a little cool, and I suppose it's October. It ought to be that way.
Yeah, we do see temperatures quite variable here coming up over the next couple of weeks. The coolness will still prevail for another couple of days before readings then significantly warm up, and we're going to be in a warmer-than-normal temperature regime through the early part of next week. Then it looks like another cold shot will bring temperatures down to below normal levels for several days, and then that's followed by another warm-up. So kind of a roller coaster ride in temperatures coming up. Again, very typical for this time of year.
The weatherman didn't see anything over the weekend for that wet weather. They kind of missed that one locally, surprised a few people. But when we look ahead, do you see any wet weather in the Midwest, and especially here for our part of the world in East Central Illinois?
No, we don't, Todd. We don't see any significant precip here coming up really over the next couple of weeks. It's dry all of this week. The next opportunity for any rainfall appears to be the middle part of next week when a frontal passage is expected, but at this time it doesn't look like it would produce any kind of, you know, real widespread heavy rainfall or nothing to interfere with harvest progress. So it's great harvest weather here, bottom line, through the middle portion of October.
It is beautiful harvest weather. How about those tender plants? And this wouldn't be the corn and the beans too much anymore, but we got pretty cool last night. Do we have to worry about anything?
No, we don't. The coldest temperatures that we've seen over the past couple of days, we're probably going to see a repeat of that as we go into tomorrow morning, particularly for eastern Illinois, not in western Indiana, but then temperatures begin to warm up after that. So tomorrow, again, another similar cool morning, but we don't see temperatures cold enough to cause any kind of issues.
Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere for me.
Yeah, right in Brazil, kind of a variable situation. Across the northern section of Brazil, we've been watching the onset of their rainy season, which is actually delayed. And they began to see rains in areas of Mato Grosso and Goiás over the weekend, but it appears that pattern here coming up is not going to feature much in the way of widespread significant precipitation. So that is an area that that continues to be worth watching here, and possible delays in soybean and corn planting due to dryness across that area. The rest of Brazil is in good shape. Gotten good rains across the central and southern acreage. More is on the way, and thus soil moisture conditions will continue to improve.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, don't forget, if you'd like to hear anything that was said during the Closing Market Report again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. Or if you'd like either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis, you can dial this number. It's 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.